I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Once upon a time in a Swiss valley far, far away, before the dawn of Christianity and the celebration we call Christmas, cattle herders with a big job to do combined ritual with work. In charge of roaming beasts and with no high-tech way to track them, the herders developed an octave-leaping call to bring them all back home. It sounded a little bit like this. Now, the herder's call, the yodel, was also part of a pagan ritual observed on the eve of the new year. It was called Silver Klaus. Groups of men dressed up as both beautiful and ugly spirits, called Santas, and took their fertility rite on the road, trudging through the snow in the pre-dawn hours, decked out in masks and bells, and yodeling all the way. Now, some say that Silver Klaus is the pagan precursor to Santa Claus. That may be, but what interests us more for the purpose of this hour is their calling card, the yodeling, and how a gaggle of herders in the Swiss Alps some 5 centuries ago created a musical tradition so enduring you can hear a yodel when you hear the word yodel. Now, this is a special recorded broadcast of The Connection, so we won't be taking your phone calls. Instead, we invite you to sit back and relax and enjoy the show. As always, if you'd like to join the conversation or learn more about yodeling, you can go to our website. We are at www.theconnection.org, and there you will find audio files and descriptions of the various yodels that we'll be hearing during today's program. I'm joined now by the man who will be our guide for the hour. Bart Plantanga is the author of a new book about yodeling. It is appropriately titled Yodeleyo, The Secret History of Yodeling Around the World, and he's joining us from the NPR Bureau in New York. Bart, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
Did I get it right? Is it yodelay-oo or yodelay-o?
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Okay, I want to make sure.
When you order the book in a bookstore, you'll be yodeling as you're ordering it, so it's a tie-in.
So I have to yodel if I want a copy of the book. I get it. How did you get interested in this, Bart?
Well, it goes back actually to the late 80s when I was DJing at a freeform station in New Jersey, actually, and I began hearing some yodels in some of the avant-garde material I was doing, and it eventually led to a full-fledged 2-hour-plus show based on the yodel, and it just got a lot of attention, and I wrote an article about yodeling, and that led to an extended article, which led to the book.
Tell me whether or not you approached yodeling with the same kind of skepticism that I think a lot of our listeners have. Certainly, I raised an eyebrow when I first contemplated the prospect of doing an hour on yodeling. Were you also wondering whether or not there was enough stuff there to work with?
I was surprised how much there was once I started digging, but I was skeptical about the skepticism, I guess, which that interested me, why it was such a derisive kind of, it was such a debased sort of vocalization. And then when I started actually digging, I realized it was... It wasn't so debased after all when you realize that people like Beethoven and Berlioz used yodel themes in some of their compositions.
But some of our own associations, as you know, are more sort of, beer garden oompa and country and Western songs that seem to sort of fill the spaces between the lyrics with yodeling. I know we'll talk more about that in the hour, but I think that's what a lot of people bring to it, this sort of notion about it, right?
Yes. Some sort of consternation, a level of annoyance, and it's almost like it's learned behavior at this point, because once you start turning them on to a variety of yodels, they say, huh. So the turns to huh.
All right. Let's start with that now. And I should mention and thank you at the outset here that the much of the music that we will be listening to on the program is provided courtesy of you and your audio file. So thanks for that. A natural yodel is what we want to start with. Called a natural, why, Bart? Because it doesn't have any words with it?
Yes, that is the original yodel, and that's how it ties in later to things like scat singing or avant-garde singing, which is abstract or wordless, and natur because it's not hampered by song structure as well. It's popular song structure. So
from the Urnash Valley in Switzerland. Bart, as I listen to that, it sounds more like a choir to me than it, you know, the sort of glottis jumping that a lot of people use to dismiss yodeling.
Well, actually, the Zoyerli and Betruf, which Betruf is kind of a prayer-like appropriation of the Natur yodel by Christianity. Yes, it lacks that gymnastic glottal leap, which distinguishes it. So, in a sense, like every rule, it's an exception. It still qualifies as a yodel, but it doesn't have that characteristic leap.
Now, we're going to listen next to a harmonized yodel. Should we get you to explain that and then listen to it? What's your guidance here?
As people began to urbanize and settle in villages, people came together and started harmonizing. And part of the herder's harmony involved bringing the yodel down into the village.
Let's listen. Bart, what is the link to prayer in yodeling? Because there is some of that soul in the original yodel, is there not?
Yes. Well, if you look at the pagan period, pre-Christian period, it was thought by herders that to call with a yodel and then use the name of the cow would enhance the relationship between the cow and the herder, make the cow more obedient, and it was also a loving call from the herder to his cattle as thanks for being so obedient and providing cheese and milk.
And if I was on one side of the mountain valley with my cattle and you were on the other side with your cattle, would we be also speaking to each other with a yodel or yodeling only to the animals completely independent of what the other was doing? Do you see what I mean?
No, it would be, there would be a variety of calls. Pre-cell phone, this was a brilliant way to communicate different signals, danger, weather conditions, or hey, let's go down to town or something like that.
There's also something else about the yodel in a mountain valley, which you put your finger on when you were preparing the radio program, and it's kind of put a light on for me as well, and that is the echo quality of the music, because that's an important part of understanding how the people who were yodeling yodeled and how the people who were listening listened to it, right?
That's true. It's yeah, it's the echo gave the sound a kind of spatial quality, and also, in a sense, a kind of psychoactive or other state of consciousness thing was triggered. I suppose something like chant or meditation.
And if we were to transport ourselves to Germany or Austria or Switzerland now, to those places where the yodel originated or this type of yodeling originated, would we still hear it today, or is it kind of boxed up in a kitschy way for tourists?
No, actually, it can be found, especially in the Appenzell, one of the northeast corner of Switzerland and also parts of Austria. And the good thing about mountainous regions is that traditions can be prolonged and preserved on some level.
Tell me what it was like for you the very first time you heard a yodel out in the open air, as opposed to listening to it recorded. That must have been a moment for you.
It was, yes, it was very interesting. It happened actually in Fribourg, which is actually a city, small city in Switzerland. But it was a gathering of 10,000 yodelers and me. And pre-competition or post-competition, they would gather in the village and around beer and wine and yodel as the moment commanded.
No, was it terrifying or was it moving? I mean, 10,000 of
them. It was very moving. In fact, it was more moving than the competition, which is highly regulated. Imagine a tango competition or a dog show in the sense of all these details that have to be precise to qualify. They measure the precise moment where the yodel enters, and they have to do certain leaps and they have to perform in a certain way, and then afterwards it's totally improv.
It sounds like the difference between figure skate going through those paces and then freeform dance, right?
Do
the people take the competition seriously? Is it something to be the champion yodeler?
Yes. It's very, very prestigious in Switzerland. And on the other hand, there are avant-gardists or non-traditionalists or people outside of that realm who also promote yodeling in totally non-traditional formats.
Now, Bart, we will be talking through the balance of this hour about how yodeling came across the Atlantic Ocean and where it's found its place in the United States. But I do want to make the point before we take that leap that yodeling doesn't just live in the Alps, in the European Alps, that you have tracked it down in other places, for example, among the pygmy tribes of Africa.
Yes, that's fairly well documented in over the past 40 years by folkways and other labels, ethnomusicological labels. Pygmy yodeling pretty much kiboshed the theory that yodeling could only take place in mountainous regions because the pygmies live on flatlands.
Let's listen
as do the Dutch, actually.
Let's listen to some.
Sorry.
We're back after the break with more on yodeling. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from NPR. Now, will it surprise you if I tell you that the name of this song is Swiss Maidens Dance? It is actually being sung by a group called the Edelweiss Stars, and it is being recorded on this side of the ocean. It is what people who know more about this than I do, or what I'm learning about, refer to as Swiss Consonne families. This is the way, in part, the way that the music crossed the ocean, a little bit more of Swiss Maiden's Dance. And our guest on this hour, Bart Plantanga, he is a yodeling historian and author of Yodeleyu, The Secret History of Yodeling Around the World. And we're also joined for this portion of the program by Bruce Bettler. Bruce is a traditional farm yodeler, a Swiss-style cheese maker, and a concert yodeler. And so you would think that he might be joining us from somewhere in Switzerland. In fact, he is joining us from Helvetia, West Virginia. Bruce, nice to have you on the program.
Thank you.
And you have been a yodeler, I am told, for most of your life.
Yes, I started when I was about 9, and then my voice changed and I had to quit through puberty. But I've been at it since about 18 now, steadily.
Did people tell you you had to quit because when your voice is breaking, it just doesn't work?
My sister certainly did. It was terribly embarrassing.
Now, were you doing the kind of performance yodeling that we were just listening to with the Edelweiss stars, or was this real yodeling, really actually calling in the cows?
It was. That's how I practice, is calling the cows in the evening. We live up on a hilltop, and the yodel carries really far, so the cows each know their yodel and at least turn their head so I hear the bell ring and know where to go fetch them.
Now, you better tell me something that I may not know about Helvetia here, because I can imagine certain parts of the country, if they heard someone yodeling on a hillside, they'd wonder if someone wasn't in some pain up there.
Helvetia is a small Swiss village up in the mountains of Randolph County, West Virginia, settled by the Swiss in 1869, and we're so isolated that we still carry on a pretty strong Swiss culture here. So it's not unusual to hear someone making that noise from a hillside.
And Bart Plantanga, when you compare what you would hear in West Virginia with that degree of isolation that Bruce describes to what's happening in the Alps back in Europe, is there a distinction? Do you find that the yodeling and the traditions are kind of stuck back in the 1860s, 1870s time when the community itself set itself up?
Well, I'd be the first to question any kind of purity, but I think, I think it's definitely genuine and it definitely sounds Swiss-like. And just like the Swiss today sound very Swiss-like, although it might not sound like it did 100 or 200 years ago.
Do the Swiss or will the Swiss acknowledge that what they do or what they hold so dear actually happens elsewhere in the world?
Some do, and some nationalists don't. There are some very, that's one of the questions among ethnomusicologists, is that there is a strong kind of pure notion of Switzerland being the place where it began, but yes.
Bruce,
it's used for that, to that effect, sorry.
I wonder, Bruce, if I can ask you to give us a little bit of the sort of yodeling that we might hear if we were out with you on the hillside.
If we're out on the hillside, usually it'll be something like yolo.
And if someone heard that, would they go, "Hey, that's Bruce," because that's your distinctive yodel?
Here in town they would, certainly.
And you began by saying, if I was on the hill, I'd hear this. What else, what other kind of yodeling do you do?
Well, down here in the village, we carry on folk dancing and alphorn playing and toddler schwingen and fahnen schwingen or flag tossing. And so during our festivals, there would be the yodel, which is the chorus to a song, similar to what we heard last on the show here.
And you do that as well. Can you give us an example?
Sure. Here's one that the Swiss would recognize as something from the 1850s because of the dialect. The words, Ufem remis ober es ist lustig, kommt das ganze Jahr nicht Schnee. Ist der Chemiefäger mit der stumpen Bäse in der Melzsuppe abgeht.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I was yodeling that in a bar in St. Moritz one time, and everyone started talking and said, "Listen to him, he sounds like our great-great-grandparents from Bern."
And when you will take that to Switzerland, though, do people appreciate it as or, as genuine yodeling, or is this some pale imitation by an American cousin?
Oh, no. It's I'm pretty accepted over there. I'm more of a flag thrower than a yodeler, but yeah, they say, "Oh, this is very good."
I beg to disagree.
Go ahead.
That's good.
He really brought down the house in New York when he performed on my behalf, on my lack of yodeling ability behalf, at two clubs in New York, and he left jaded New Yorkers with big smiles on their faces.
What do you find, Bruce, is the most common misconception that you run up against when you say, "I'm a yodeler"? People will say what?
The most common misconception, they almost always expect me to do cowboy yodeling, mm-hmm. since I'm an American.
And what do you make of cowboy yodeling? We're actually going to move to that a little bit later in the program, but is that a poor country cousin of what it is that you do, or is that a style that's completely different?
It's just a completely different style. Same tools in the throat, and they have cows in common.
Yeah. And that's it.
as far as I can tell, Bart's the expert on that.
Well, actually, in places like Australia, for instance, where yodeling is also a big deal, very many hits from the 40s onward, Tex Morton, a transplanted New Zealander, brought the yodel to Australia, was the first star, the Jimmy Rogers of Australia. And he, like many other cowboy yodelers in Australia, actually utilized Swiss-influenced yodeling. So that's a very interesting permutation, I guess.
This is probably as good a time as any to bring Wiley Gustafson into the conversation. Wiley is well known as a country singer and a yodeler, perhaps best known to our listeners as the yodeler behind the commercial for Yahoo. Wiley, are you there?
Yahoo! Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm doing great this morning.
Now, I realized just as I was asking Bruce about the relationship between, country yodeling and Swiss yodeling, that I shouldn't get into that water without having you alongside. Do you see one as just different from the other, or one better than the other, one a sort of a hybrid of the other? How do you regard the country yodeling that you're known for?
Exactly, a hybrid is how I would, it changes, and yodeling has changed as different cultures pick it up, as American culture picked it up. Well, I think the American culture blended several types of yodeling, the African yodel. I think the slaves brought that over, and Jimmy Rogers was a good example of somebody who picked up on the African style of yodeling. I think the cowboy yodeling, the fancy, fast cowboy yodeling, comes more from the Alpine region of Europe, and there's several different styles in between. There's a cowboy yodel that's a very slow, mournful, plaintive type yodel that is different also. So I think Americans have made yodeling their own and have created their own art form.
I need you to help me with my language here a bit, Bart, because I see in the various notes that I've scribbled to myself references to cowboy yodeling and hillbilly yodeling. Now, is hillbilly yodeling a pejorative when you use that, or does that describe something different in and of itself?
Bart, merely more geographical than it's certainly not pejorative to me, although it's a long time coming as far as a pejorative used by New Yorkers to describe people from down south or And but to me, it still describes a little bit of somebody from the hills. Yes, I don't have so much problem with the word.
Wiley,
it's,
Bruce,
it's
what
been
do you
recuperated.
Are we okay with the word, or should we set it aside?
Hillbilly?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's, you know, that's a geographic thing, and hillbilly's fine with me. You know, it's hillbilly something that's cool. If you describe something as hillbilly yodeling, I'd want to go buy it, listen to it.
Yes.
Well,
Go ahead, Bruce.
Speaking from the heart of West Virginia here, we take a lot of shots across the bow, so we do wince at the word a little more.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I just wanted to make sure where we should plot that on the map of political correctness. But let's listen to an example of cowboy yodeling. I won't use the word hillbilly. And this I kind of like because we're going to begin by listening to the song, a song by Elton Britt called Cowpoke. And he's kind of a founding father in this genre. And then we'll get a chance to listen to the same song performed by our very own Wiley Gustafson. But let's start with Elton Britt.
Lonesome but happy, rich but I'm broke, and the good Lord knows the reason I'm just a cowpoke.
Elton Britt, founding father of cowboy yodeling, and now our very own Wiley Gustafson with his version of Cowpoke.
But I'm happy, rich, but I'm broke. Oh, the good Lord knows the reason I'm just a cowpoke. From Cheyenne to Shelby, the ranges I know, and drift with the wind. No one cares where I go.
Wiley, I can tell you, you have the female hearts in the control room here all aflutter with that little bit of yodeling there.
Great.
Have you ever taken cowboy yodeling overseas? Have you ever performed that for Europeans?
Yes.
What do they make of it?
They are everywhere we go with yodeling. People are very interested and very, it brings smiles to everybody's faces, and they're very interested wherever we go. I've never seen an audience turn away from what we have to offer as far as our yodeling.
And Bart Plantanga, I have to tell
we
did a program about ham radio some months back and discovered in doing that program that we were tapping into this almost underground network that exists right around the world of ham radio operators. And as I listen to the three of you describing what you know of yodeling around the world, I'm wondering if there isn't a little secret business card that you all have that, you know, sort of lets you into secret clubs, whether it's Melbourne or or wherever in the world.
I think it's the ability to move the epiglottis that allows you into the speakeasies of yodel clubs around the world. But for instance, in the Netherlands, there are country music magazines, and in the 40s and 50s, there was a subgenre of cowboy yodeling in the Netherlands, and also in Belgium, and Belgium has its own cowboy yodelers, complete with, you know, all the cowboy gear. And Bobby Jan Schopen, for instance, has yodeled many, many cowboy cover versions in Dutch, German, even in French. Hmm. And he Yes. So it's not unknown. And when a real cowboy comes from America, it's, yeah.
Wiley,
get an audience.
How old were you when you started yodeling, Wiley?
I was probably 14 or 15 years old. My dad loved to yodel. And he yodeled up on top of the ski hill. I was born and raised in northern Montana, and every time we'd go ski, he would yodel. Anytime he was happy, he would yodel. He was also a cowboy. We had a ranch. We were out on horseback.
It's like whistling, then, the way some people whistle when they're happy.
Yeah. It was just an expression of joy, and that's what it is with me. You know, part of my yodeling is an expression of joy, and it's infectious. You know, there's a lot of power in yodeling. And it's something that I think you need to, you know, I've heard yodelers, and some yodelers kind of clobber you over the head with it and make you wince, you know. There's an art form to it, and there's a subtlety to it, and you have to know how to use it in front of an audience, you know, and it's a lost art form. People are seeking out yodeling. It's amazing how we've found a crowd for yodeling and how they're starving for something new, something traditional, maybe looking for their roots. I don't know. There's a magic to it, though, that just creates a lot of interest with people.
Bruce Bettler, is this an art form that some people have talent for, or can anybody yodel?
Well, everyone has the tools. I find that that's certainly the case. But yes, Wiley's right. You have to know when to use how much of it. It's like the truffles of music. You can't have a whole entree of it. You just spice with it.
So are you still learning then, Bruce?
Oh, yes. Everyone's still learning. Every once in a while I hear something say, ooh, I wonder if I can do that. And then I go away from the public and try it out.
Yeah, where do you go?
My favorite place to yodel are in stairwells.
Because of the echo?
Yes.
I know you're not in a stairwell right now, but we're coming to the end of a segment, Bruce, and I want to thank you for being with us on the program. I wonder if I can ask you to yodel us out, perhaps. Give us just a few choruses of what you'd be doing on the hillside. Could you do that for us?
Sure.
That'd be great. Bruce, it's been just great having you on the program. I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you much.
Bruce Bettler from Helvetia, West Virginia. And you thought that was just in Switzerland. Back after the break with more yodeling. I'm Dick Gordon. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to the Yodeling Connection on this special edition of The Connection. I say the special edition because we're not taking your calls this time. It's just a chance for you to sit back and loosen your seatbelt a little bit and listen to yodeling from around the world. If you'd like to know more about what you're hearing on the program today, though, many more links and much more information on our website at theconnection.org, and much of it provided by our principal guest for the hour. Bart Plantanga is a yodeling historian and author of a new book called Yodelehiu, The Secret History of Yodeling Around the World. Bart's a radio disc jockey now based in Amsterdam with perhaps one of the largest collection of yodeling samples from all the way around the world. And on the program with us, Wiley Gustafson, country singer, yodeler. I think Wiley has some 8 CDs out of his own music. Total Yodel 1998. One that perhaps best showcases the kind of singing that he does. Maybe actually would be an appropriate time to listen to a little bit of Yodeling Fool, one that Wiley Gustafson says sings a little bit about his own path to fame in the genre of yodeling.
Red bandana with a guitar always close at hand. Led by his intuition, he had but one ambition, to become the greatest yodeler in the land. You could find him on the streets, in the alleys, in the bars, correcting and perfecting his tune. But now the townsfolk just laugh, turn their backs, he was the local yodeling fool. Hey,
Now, Wiley, I have to ask you here, and this comes as something of a confession here. I'm just sitting there listening to the song and the yodel and wondering if you know the one yodeling cowboy who I've actually had the pleasure to meet and shake his hand and see in concert, and that is from Alberta, Canada, Wilf Carter, also known as Montana Slim. Did you ever know Wilf?
I did not ever know him, but he's one of my heroes.
I was struck, actually. He died in the mid-1990s at a good old age.
Wilf
lived well. He spent much of his latter years in a bass fishing boat in Florida, much to the consternation of his neighbors in Alberta, Canada. But you know what? He came back once in his 80s, and he booked himself a concert in the Jubilee Auditorium of, it was either Calgary or Edmonton, I can't remember. They were turning people away. There were thousands of people from all over rural Canada who had grown up listening to Wilf Carter's yodeling music. And I, a city kid radio reporter doing a story on the guy, and I was amazed at just how well known he was and how highly regarded the music was, because I kind of had put it in my head back a decade or two, yodeling cowboy music, that was then, but it's still very much now for a lot of people.
Yes, and Wilf, you know, he had a long career from the 30s until, you know, he recorded in the 70s, so he had a recording career that spanned at least 40 years, and he was a great guy and a wonderful person and a great yodeler, and, you know, he had it all. And, I think he was just one of the guys that put yodeling on the map and made it acceptable and was a great yodeler, and what guys like me go to find cowboy yodelers to listen to, you know. Wilf Carter is one of the first guys we'll go listen to. And Elton Britt, another great guy. Yeah. And you mentioned earlier a little bit about, growing old and yodeling. I think as you mature and get older, both Wilf Carter and Elton Britt got better as they got older. In their 50s and 60s, they could still hit a lick, and their voice mellowed a little bit, and, you know, they kept improving.
You know, my engineering team has just since I raised the Wilf's name, put their hands on a little bit of Wilf Carter. Can we just have a taste of that, Doug?
I'm beating my way o'er the mountain and valleys. My thoughts, you're boundless. My soul is as free. Like a bird on the wing, its song is enchanting. I'll yodel my way with a heart full of glee. I'll eat yodel, eat, 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 eat. I'll eat yodel, eat, eat, eat.
Bart, I want to come back to you as our historian here and get you to help us a little bit with how you have heard yodeling in the United States change since the days when Wilf would have started back in the 30s to what we're getting from the stars of the business now, like Wiley. How have we seen it evolve just in the cowboy sphere?
Well, for one, let's just say Jimmy Rogers, he embodied this confluence of the two-pronged, my two-pronged theory of how the yodel came to America, maybe as early as the 1670s or so, with slaves, and then also with the early Mennonites and Swiss people who came to the States. So he embodies that evolution into jazz and combining hollerin' with Swiss style. And there are theories that Jimmy heard those Swiss traveling families before he yodeled. So techniques have gotten better. And the pantheon includes Wilf Carter, and it also includes Elton Britt. But I think people are learning, and I think Wiley's up there as well. It's just that he's alive and kicking. And you can't go to yodeler heaven until that's no longer true. So
Wiley, what's your take on this? Can you sort of settle back in and say I've got this down, or like an artist in any field, are you saying how do I take my yodeling to the next level?
Exactly. Exactly. I want to respect the tradition of yodeling, but I also want to take it in a new direction. I mean, I grew up listening to all sorts of music, Rolling Stones, Beatles, as well as Hank Sr. and Elton Britt and guys like that. So I myself, I think, am a hybrid of sorts. And if you listen to our records, you'll find that our style is just a hybrid of basically everything I've listened to growing up. And again, I really respect the tradition, and there will always be that tradition heard in our music, because I think the roots are so important. You know, it has to come from somewhere, and to honor the founding fathers of American yodeling is important to me, because I'm an American, and that's what I grew up listening to. I listened to Elton Britt so much when I was a kid, and it just stuck with me, and it'll always be a part of me. But I think I'm trying to age gracefully with my yodeling, and you know, it will always be a part of any record that I do. Will have yodeling on it, because I feel that strongly about it, and I've seen the power of yodeling and how it makes people happy, and how it goes over in our shows. I just know that's a very important part of my artistic career.
Now, do you have to be up on stage with a microphone in front of you, or can we get just a little yodel from you over the phone?
I can give you a little lick here.
You want to watch those cows? They're going to be coming through the walls of the room there in Dusty, Washington.
I use yodeling to get my cows to come in the morning too. It's something that carries, and I can see how the goat herders picked up on the yodel to call their animals, because they really respond to it. When it's connected with food, you know, yodeling and food, they come and running.
I think it's so cool that it's still used for that same original purpose. Wiley, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us on the program today.
Thank you, Dick, and thanks, Bart, for bringing yodeling to the forefront a little bit again.
No, I think you've done your part.
All right. That's Wiley Gustafson, country singer and yodeler. You can find out more about Wiley on our website. We have links there to help you learn more about yodeling. Okay, Bart, now it's just you and me, and perhaps we can take the lead from Wiley there and move to a few other places where we're going to find yodeling in American pop culture. The one that got my eyebrow up was the Sly and the Family Stone. I listened to that music.
Right.
Well, I didn't remember much of what I listened to of Sly and the Family Stone, but I didn't remember the yodeling. What's the story behind the yodeling in this?
Well, just to bring it back one notch as far as how the yodel has developed since the 40s or 50s,
sure,
is that, and it feeds into this fairly well. Wolf Carter, actually, he was a pure yodeler, but he also saw the magic of the recording studio, and he used heavy echo effects, and he perfected a yodel called the 3-in-1, referring to the echo effects that the studio could bring about.
Right.
And Sly Stone, Sylvester, he was a DJ before becoming a rock star or rock funk star.
So you have a soft spot for him being a DJ.
Oh, so. Yes.
Yeah.
And he was a wild guy working for a highly formatted station, but he would, between songs and during his conversations, just begin yodeling, and he learned it from somewhere, and he applied it to a couple of songs.
It sounds like the sort of thing, Bart, that he would do live in concert rather than just packaging something up in a studio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, if he showed up for a concert. he was a temperamental performer, but...
Same with all DJs.
I think he's one of the geniuses of that era, so...
He makes it fit. He definitely makes it fit. Now, before we're out of time on the program, I do want to make sure that we get to another part of the another place where we're going to hear yodeling, and that is in reggae music. You've drawn our attention to a piece by Barrington Levy. Is this something unusual in the music, or something that you would actually see more than one place?
You would find it in a number of places, but in reggae itself, the non-produced, the non-dubbed version, you would find it only with Barrington Levy and perhaps Lee Scratch Perry and a few others, one other that I'd know of. But Barrington Levy is special because he is known as the Blue Mountain Yodeler, and the Blue Mountains are in Jamaica. And as a child, he roamed the countryside and vocalized, played with his voice, much like goat herds probably did before it became song, and added ornaments to it. And he took it into the studio in the 1970s.
It has done for me, yeah. Something in my heart, like a stream running down. Everybody, hallelujah.
Barrington Levy with yodeling and a little bit of reggae music, and I'm amazed, Bart, at how quickly the time has gone, because we're at the end of our hour here.
Yes.
And
sadly enough,
I feel like we just touched the surface of where this is. I mean, you know, if we've listened to a dozen different examples of yodeling, how many pieces of tape and recording do you have tucked away in your studio? There must be hundreds.
There must be thousands. And it's frustrating being a completist, because when you pick one, you say, well, why not this one also? And yes, that's...
So if you would leave us with one bit of wisdom from someone who has been exploring the history of yodeling, what would that be? What would your parting words be, Bart?
Yodel in the privacy of your home until you are good at it. But then do come out of that closet or out of that bathroom or out of that rolled-up windowed car and bring it to the people.
Great advice. Bart, thanks so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you very much.
Bart Blantang is author of Yodeleyu, The Secret History of Yodeling Around the World. Wiley Gustafson was also with us on the program. He's a country singer. Earlier, we also talked with Bruce Bettler, a traditional farm yodeler from West Virginia. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.